Whoa, you went no contact with your family? Like, you don't talk to them at all? Nope, because they're toxic as fuck. Are you also the villain for walking away from your toxic family in order to preserve your peace? Welcome to the Character Outs podcast, where I am on a mission to normalize going no contact with toxic family. Welcome, all you terrible people. Let's talk about it.
Welcome back to the Character Outs podcast. My name is Terry, and I am so happy that you're here. I am back. I didn't take a break early, contemplated it, but I am just oddly stuck to my word, and you know how it goes. So I'm going to keep the break beginning on February 29th, will be the last episode of season one. But where have I been? Maybe you didn't notice. Maybe you didn't notice that I was gone for 2 weeks. Maybe you did. And those of you who noticed, I appreciate you. I appreciate that you noticed that I was gone for 2 weeks. Everything is totally fine. Everything's fine with my family. Everything's fine with my kids. Everything's fine. Everything's going to be fine. But I mentioned something probably around the springtime, something that we were dealing with. It is literally a battle between good and evil right now. I have to be really cryptic about it because I literally cannot discuss it. And it's really annoying that I can't discuss it. All I can say is, you know, we're fine. Everything is fine. We're just kind of in a battle right now. And it involves my 16-year-old son. And that's literally all I can say. But that's the reason that I have kind of been MIA. The actual event is not what pulled me away or made me not be able to record an episode, and I've got so many guests that I actually had to postpone and letters that I actually didn't read because I just, well, it's the topic of today's episode. So today's episode is trauma responses. We're going to talk about trauma response activated, crash, recovery, and badassery initiated. So the event that happened a couple weeks ago, it really sent me into a trauma response, and it set off this fight trauma response in me. I went into fight mode, and then I went into crash mode, and then I went into recovery mode, and then I went into badassery mode. And I hadn't really defined any of these steps. You know, you always hear about the four trauma responses. You hear about the flight, fight, freeze, or fawn, you know, which I've always been very familiar with. But as I was walking through the whole process and I was hit with this fight mode and trauma response, I crashed. And I'd never really realized that there's a crash after a trauma response. There's also a recovery after a trauma response. And then I've added an additional how we feel after all of those emotions have settled and processed. And I hope that you feel like a badass, because after we've survived all of that, I mean, I kind of walk with a little more pep in my step. My confidence is a little higher. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to embrace it. I hope you do too. And I'm going to call it badassery initiated. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about all those phases. And it is so good to be back. I've been active on Instagram, so still active there, but really, I haven't responded really to any emails or DMs. That is what I want to use the season break for. I really want to connect with those of you that I haven't been able to connect with, who have sent me messages, and get season two guests lined up and get some new fresh content, get a new face for Instagram. Diverting a little bit. Anyway, let's get back to the episode, and here we go. All right. So the trauma responses. Now, as I delved into the trauma responses, as I read some articles on trauma responses, because again, I am just a survivor healing, I am reporting live from the battlefield of this no contact journey. I'm learning as I go, I'm hurting as I go, and I'm reporting as I go, so to speak. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have a licensed degree in how to figure this out, toxic families, mental health, nothing. I don't have any of that. I have what I've learned and what I continue to learn that I bring to you. You know, I am learning all of these jargon associated with toxic families and narcissism, you know, right there along with you. So I wrote a very, very interesting article from health.com, and it really defined flight or fight, freeze or fawn really beautifully. And I'll share the link in the show notes. And I'm just going to read, kind of summarize a little bit of the article. When your sympathetic nervous system becomes activated, your body prepares for either fight or flight, but your nervous system can shift to a freeze or fawn response. So fight, obviously, is, you know, you're ready for battle. Here we go. And that is typically where I go now. I used to kind of teeter between flight, which is where we just leave, or fight. But most of the time, I want to say I go into fight mode. That's me. Then there's also freeze, where we just freeze and don't know what to do. And there's fawn, where we just become obedient to pacify the situation and make the fight, make the hurt, make the chaotic situation go away. I'd love to hear back from you and hear kind of which trauma response you tend to resonate with. I'd love to hear back from you. Okay, here we go. If your body feels fight or flight won't be effective in managing the stressor at hand, then again, it will go to the freeze or fawn response. All of these responses are a response to fear, trauma, and stress. Short-term and long-term both set off the sympathetic nervous system, the part of your body that activates your trauma and stress responses. Your body actually releases adrenaline and cortisol during this process. And this is the most significant thing I got. This is not a conscious response. This is not something that you consciously do. It is activated by your body, by your sympathetic nervous system, by your brain. And if it's activated by your brain, that means that while, yes, we have control over our actions and what we do, it's a trauma response. And I feel like that helped me. It helped me because while I like to have a definition and I like to be able to figure things out, it makes me feel more normal, if that makes sense. Knowing that there is an actual definition for what I've felt my entire life, knowing that it actually came from traumatic situations that had happened in my life was really validating for me. So before I get into the stages that I'm going to be talking about today, I have a song for you, and I don't know where my Swifties are, but here we go, The Archer. So I'm going to try something new and actually have background music while I sing today. So let's do it. I've been the archer. I've been the prey, screaming, who could ever leave me, darling? But who could stay? 'Cause they see right through me, they see right through me, they see right through me. Can you see right through me? They see right through me, they see right through me. Can I see right through me? I see right through me. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put me together again. 'Cause all of my enemies started out friends. Help me hold on to you. I've been the archer, I've been the prey. So why does that song resonate with me? Why do I sing it at the beginning of this? That one verse that I just shared with you, I'll break down why it was so impactful to me. But the opening of the song starts with combat. I'm ready for combat. I say I don't want that, but what if I do? Have you ever felt that way? When we're hit with these traumatic events, like, in some ways, we're ready for combat. We're always ready for combat. And we say we don't want it, but it kind of feels good because it feels normal, right? That combat mode, being in combat mode, feels like normal. And I've said it before, sometimes I feel like I have more clarity when I'm in combat, when I'm in fight mode. I can get shit done. I am on my game. I'm not tired. I'm energetic. I'm ready. Why? Because I prepared my whole life for combat because I spent my whole life in combat. So the other part of the verse that I sang, I've been the archer. So I've been on the front lines. Like, I have felt like I've been on the offense, so to speak. I'm the one on the battle lines. I'm fighting. I'm fighting for whatever it is, whatever comes your way. I don't know what situations get thrown at you. This particular one that got thrown at me, I was in fight mode. I was protecting my child. I was the archer. But growing up, I was the prey. I was the prey at the hands of my narcissistic mother, at the hands of my toxic family. And the next line, screaming, who could ever leave me, darling, but who could stay? So we have that mixed emotions where we have this confidence, like, oh, well, who could ever leave me? But also, who would stay? Who could put up with us? We've got so much damage and baggage and shit and from our toxic families. Like, who could ever stay? And then there was the, because they see right through me, they see right through me. Can you see right through me? I see right through me. And that's kind of like when we are in fight mode, sometimes, you know, I've said it before, we have to become these award-winning actresses because when we're in fight mode, when we are hit with a traumatic event in our lives or a traumatic situation, or a traumatic might be a little powerful of a word to use, a stressful situation that requires us to rise up and fight, or maybe we fly away, or maybe we freeze, or maybe we fawn, we feel very vulnerable and we can question ourselves and we can be like, wait, do they see right through me? Because I'm faking. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm faking. I see right through me. Do you see right through me? And then all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put me together again. We feel like that at the crash. You know, after we've fought, after the adrenaline has left our bodies and we're left with now the situation is done, it's over. All the king's horses and all the king's men, they couldn't put me back together again. Now I'm broken all over again. This situation, this stressful event, even though I fought it, even though I was victorious, I'm broken now. And that's something that I didn't ever really embrace. So I broke it down. Again, this is the beauty of not having a degree in mental health, not being a licensed therapist. I can just tell you what I extrapolated from the most recent traumatic and stressful event in my life and break it down the way I want to. So I have broken it down into four categories: the trauma response activated, the crash, the recovery, and the badassery initiated. So let's first talk about when the stressful situation comes, when we're hit with something and the traumatic response is initiated. I don't know where you go, if you go to fight, if you go to flight, if you go to freeze, if you go to fawn. Again, I would love to hear back from you and hear which trauma response you tend to go to the most. I think that would be such a cool conversation. But for me, I'm going to speak from my experience. In this particular case, and in most cases, I go into fight mode. I become, like I said, let's do this. Here we go. I've got clarity. It's on the forefront of my mind. Let's fucking handle this. So again, I have to be cryptic about the situation, but I was in legit fight mode for a few days, battling something that we've been battling since the spring, literal good versus evil. I don't know about you, but when I'm faced with a situation where I find myself having to stand there and justify my truth, justify my son's truth, justify what actually happened, it can be infuriating. But you know, what I've learned from this situation is the truth, no matter who asks or where it's asked. It's the truth, right? And that's the other thing. I don't know how people lie. Like, I couldn't keep up with my stories if I lied. Like, I just don't know how people lie. It would be so stressful and exhausting. So
these trauma responses, right? Like, we all are aware of the fight or flight mode, the freeze or fawn mode. We all, like, you're like, Terry, I get it. Like, I'm well aware of this. Okay. Me too. I was too. But here's the thing. After it happened, after we went through what we went through for a few days, I guess it was a Monday, we were bracing for combat and it was postponed again. And I hung up the phone with the person who delivered this message to me. And all of a sudden, I like physically didn't feel well. I got exhausted. I sat down. I was having a hard time putting thoughts together. I was kind of, my head was kind of spinning a little bit because I was ready that week to fight, literally. And then I got the word that it had been postponed. And so I was just like, oof, okay. And I didn't have to be in fight mode. The adrenaline left. I didn't have to be thinking about fighting. I didn't have to be thinking about my son hurting and having him go through this, right? So what happened was I just kind of just stayed home. It was a Monday. Went around the house, like, you know, did things around the house, made dinner, and I just kind of sat down. And I just honestly, I'm just going to be honest with you guys, like, I ordered sushi and I watched a show. I started watching a show. And I had actually got hooked on Gossip Girl while my husband had traveled to India. So I sat down and I watched Gossip Girl and ordered sushi. And I felt really guilty about it because, you know, that's what we do. And I'm like, okay, you know, worried that, you know, what's going to happen next. The next day, kind of the same. Like, I think that was the week. I think I got a sty in my eye too. So that was probably, looking back now, brought on by stress. And so I just rested and, you know, just kind of didn't commit to anything. I had an interview with a guest, actually, and I was supposed to read someone's story. And I actually just was not in the right mind frame, was not. And the days kept passing and I found myself not isolating from the people in my life, but, you know, unable to do, you know, got my son off to school, like, you know, tasks around the house. It wasn't like I was completely in bed. And I think that's something else that, you know, after that traumatic response hits, it's important to pay attention to our bodies. And I will very freely and openly say I take medication for anxiety and depression, and I also go to therapy. But you know, if you are feeling stuck, if you are feeling depressed, God forbid, if you are having suicidal ideations or whatever, don't be afraid to ask for help, to get help. Know your body, pay attention to it, know the signs of depression. And if you are unable to get up and out of bed and go to your job, if you, you know, are having really, really dark, intrusive thoughts, don't be afraid to get the help of a doctor. Don't be afraid to talk to someone and, you know, just pay attention, because there's a difference between just kind of floating and not being in the right space and being really in a dark and down place. And I just encourage you, don't be afraid to get help if you are in a really dark place. It's very important to pay attention to your body. So I knew I wasn't in this like depressive state where I needed to like call my doctor and maybe adjust my medication or anything like that. So it wasn't anything like that. It just felt, I couldn't really define it. Like, I'm like, am I tired? Am I getting my period? And then a few days after that, it was like the Friday before Super Bowl. I was like, I feel like I might be getting sick. Like, my throat kind of hurts a little bit. My body, like at the end of the night, I would feel like, oh no, just like I needed to take a bath. Like I kind of had a chill. And this lasted for a week. And then it went into the next week. And again, I knew it was nothing that was inhibiting my ability to function as a mom, to function as a friend, to function as a wife. I just, you know yourself. You know when you're on your game and you're productive and active, and you know when you're like, I just want to sit here and order food and watch TV. And I'm sure those of you who are raised by a narcissistic parent, that was absolutely unacceptable. Like, so we're dealing with the fallout from this traumatic or stressful event. And then we have the lovely phrases going through our heads telling us that we're lazy pieces of shit because we're taking care of our bodies and listening to our bodies and being good to ourselves, you know? So that's fun. And listen, like, I know there's no quote normal anything, because everyone has had their shit, even if they don't come from a toxic family. Everyone has their shit, right? But for us who come from a toxic family, who have traumatic childhoods, who had narcissistic parents, who were raised by narcissistic parents, you know, we are not only fighting the traumatic event and the crash at hand, we're fighting everything from our past, because I feel like it all bubbles up at once. And it literally took me a week of being like, wait a minute, I crashed. I legit crashed. And I was like, huh, like I had this, and I'd never thought about that before. And I'd never learned about anything. They don't talk about the crash after your traumatic response. They don't talk about it. It's just kind of like, yeah, that's your traumatic response. Okay, well, what happens next? You fucking crash. Am I the only one? Please tell me I'm not the only one. Even if I am the only one, it's fine. I'll be a loner on this subject. I'm a loner on most things, but the crash, like, I feel like it's so important to recognize that there's a stage of crash, because if you don't, you're just kind of healing and trying to recover and emotionally recover while simultaneously beating yourself up, because I know you, because you're probably a lot like me, because you come from a toxic family and a fucking narcissistic mother, and we just beat ourselves up if we aren't productive or we didn't, you know, do enough that day. Like, and when I realized like I was in the crash, I was like, okay, well, you know what? I'm in the crash. So I'm gonna sit in the crash. And the thing was too, when we had something traumatic happen to us as children, or we were hit with a stressful event as children, we were never allowed to crash. It was, we were discarded by our narcissistic mothers, and all of a sudden we were love bombed again, and we were put a fucking smile on, back into the party, bitch. You know what I mean? Like, we were never allowed to crash, to even recover. So you go from fight mode to numb, and you better put a smile on and act like everything is fine. And P.S. we're not talking about it, because there's nothing to talk about, because, you know, I didn't do anything, right? Raise your hand if you've been there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just feel like at each of these stages that I talk about, I feel like it's important to embrace each stage, to recognize each stage, to not feel guilty about each stage, and not rush through each stage. And I also feel like it's important that you figure out how you get through each stage and not feel guilty about it. And I've said before, like when it comes to a breakup or something that, you know, kind of put you in a bad mood or a bad space, my mantra has always been, okay, pick a date, cry, eat ice cream, set a timer, and get the fuck over it. But when it comes to trauma responses, my eyes were really opened, and I was like, I'm not going to put a timer on it this time. I'm going to listen to my body and not feel guilty if I watch Gossip Girl while my son's at school for 4 hours and order sushi or a pizza. I'm not going to feel guilty if I want to go and drive through Starbucks because that's going to distract, or just because I want an iced coffee. I'm going to do that. I'm going to settle my mind. I'm going to clear my calendar if I need to. The people who will understand and who know you are going to understand. And if you lose people in that process, then you probably would have lost them anyway. And you probably honestly lost them way before this traumatic event happened. While you are going through the trauma response, you're not really thinking. It's kind of a buzzing time. You're focused on the fight at hand. But then when you crash, like I found myself not even really thinking about the event that had just happened, if that makes sense. And I think that's why I had a difficult time. And it took me a minute to be like, wait, I crashed from that. I literally crashed from it. And so hand in hand with the crash comes the recovery. I feel like you can crash and then comes the recovery time. Think about it like this. If the traumatic response that your body gave you through releasing adrenaline and releasing cortisol, if it was an actual response that you had no control over, again, I'm no doctor, okay? I am no expert. I can just judge from what I just lived through over the past 2 weeks. It makes sense in my mind that the crash mode, that the recovery mode are also not really consciously done. You know, I didn't want to be not recording. I didn't want to have to tell two guests that I couldn't record because I wasn't in the right space. I didn't want to sit and watch. Okay, fine. I did want to sit and watch Gossip Girl all day. I mean, who doesn't? But it's not a conscious thing. Like, we're not choosing to be lazy. You know, if you had a physical wound, if you broke your leg, you wouldn't rush through. You wouldn't go to your doctor right when you had a cast put on and say, I'm ready. Take the cast off. I'm fine. I'm just gonna wing it and walk on it. No, you have a broken leg. And it's so much easier for us to embrace physical wounds and chalk off and just look over and bypass emotional wounds. And if you have been raised in a toxic family, if you have had the daily oppressive manipulation and emotional abuse from a narcissistic mother, you have serious emotional wounds that can cut just as deep as a physical wound. And you wouldn't blow off even a cut on your finger that required a Band-Aid. Or if you, like, I had a sty in my eye, I couldn't wear makeup for a week or whatever it was. Like, I responded to something physical. I was like, no. But we have such difficulty embracing and responding to our emotional wounds. So the crashing and recovery are kind of hand in hand, in my opinion. And these two components of the trauma responses, I just never acknowledged. And the thoughts from the crash mode are still going through your head, right? You're still doubting yourself. But for the first time ever, I was like, wait, I'm fucking not lazy. I'm not incompetent. I'm not crazy. Insert anything that our mothers have told us. So what did I do? I didn't feel guilty. Number one. Number two, I embraced the healing and gave myself some grace. And number three, I watched a lot of Gossip Girl and ate boatloads of sushi. But what is your recovery going to look like? You know, maybe you're like, listen, Terry, I have a newborn baby and I have to be up throughout the night. Like, or maybe you're like, I have a high-powered job with people who depend on me. I can't just, you know, hit pause. Or maybe you're like, I'm a waitress. If I don't work, I won't make money. Like, how do I do it? I can't just stay home and sit around all day. Listen, I've been at that stage too. I've been at that stage where I've had to suck it up and go and fucking do my job or take care of my kids. But here's the thing. There will be a moment during the day, and whatever time that moment is, if you've worked 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, when you finally get home and have that moment to yourself, carve out time for yourself. So be good to yourself, whatever that looks like. And it's very easy for me, and I hope that you have a supportive cast in your life. My husband is so sweet because he would come home and I'd be like, I didn't do anything today. And I honestly, this is the first time I'm really speaking about the stages that I went through, and my husband and I are going on a date tonight because actually today is 8 years since we met such an exciting and fun day for us. So I'll lay it out there on the date tonight. But even not knowing what I was going through, I would say things to him like, yeah, I was lazy and sorry I didn't, you know, do this or, you know, whatever. And he's like, what are you fucking talking about? You're not lazy. Like, you're not XYZ, whatever I said that was always said to me, you know, because I'm doubting my character. He's just like, you're not. And I was like, yeah, but I just like sat around all day. And he was like, honey, you took care of our child. Like, you didn't just sit around all day. You know, I hope that you have a supportive cast in your life who can be like, no, babe, like, you're good. You're not lazy. You need to rest. You need to recover. What happened was shitty. And I hope that you have that support that you need and have that extra voice telling you it's okay. And if you don't, then let me be the voice to say, it's okay. If you crash from a traumatic or a stressful event and you're recovering from something stressful or traumatic that happened, give yourself a little bit of grace. Find out what helps you. Find out what would be healing for you, as stupid as it may be. Maybe it's being in bed by 6 o'clock before the sun goes down, or I don't know. Maybe it's good to talk to your friends and be like, yeah, I'm crashing a little bit. I'm needing to recover a little bit. I went through a stressful time. Whatever it may be, maybe it's communicating for you. Maybe it's not communicating. I don't know. I don't know what's going to work for you. All I know is that Gossip Girl and sushi worked for me. And it sounds so stupid. So just kind of lean into, you know, maybe it's going to yoga for you. Maybe it's going on a run. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's just laying in bed with your thoughts. I don't know. But whatever it is, don't feel guilty about it. You know, whatever is going to help you heal and recover, embrace it. So embrace the trauma. Embrace the stressful situation. Embrace whatever trauma response that you had. Don't feel guilty about it. Embrace the crash and recovery. Don't feel guilty about it. You know, the other thing is, don't give yourself a timeline. Just go with the flow a little bit. For me, it took me a good 2 weeks. You know, 2 weeks. And some might say, that's a long time, you lazy bitch. Others might say, yeah, I need like a month. You know, we're not in competition with each other. We owe no one an explanation as to why we do what we do for our emotional recovery and our mental health. Like, most people aren't going to understand because most people don't have the fucking history that we have, right? So don't compare yourself and don't give yourself a time frame. Be gracious to yourself. Be graceful to yourself as you're walking through this recovery and crash period. But what happens is one morning you wake up and it's like the fog has lifted. And I knew, I was like, I passed it. I'm done. And I think this moment for me literally was like last Friday. I still felt like I was getting sick. So what is today? Today, oh my God, today is already Friday. Holy shit. Sorry to totally be thinking out loud right now. I think this day for me where I realized the fog had lifted was like on this Monday, either Monday or Tuesday. And I all of a sudden had a pep in my step again. I all of a sudden was having clarity. I all of a sudden was feeling creative. I all of a sudden wanted to do things and be productive and be active and get out of the house and maybe try a new recipe and actually go to the grocery store. Like, I realized that it's like one morning you're like, oh, I'm okay. And it's like, it's not an I'm okay like it never happened. It's an I'm okay like I survived, right? Like childbirth or the flu or the throw up and diarrhea virus. You know what I mean? Like, you know how you feel like when you've survived something, you're like, oh, I'm on the other side. Yes. It's not like it never happened. It happened. I still feel it in my body. I still feel the trauma response. It's muted. But I still feel it. I still feel the crash and recovery in my body. But now I have a sense of badassery because I did it. Not only did I do it and I survived it and I walked through the emotions of it, but I did it without anyone that I'm related to, right? For us who come from a toxic family, who are no contact with our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our entire family, like me, I had nobody to call. I had nobody to help me. I had nobody to walk, you know, walk this through with me. I had myself, and don't get me wrong, I have a beautiful and loving and supportive husband, but we go through these things alone. Whether you're married or you have a partner or you've got your best friends in the world, we walk through these things alone. You know, for most people, they call their moms and their dads during these things that happened, and we don't have that luxury. So when we're on the other side and we did it, it's like, oh, look at me. I'm a badass bitch. You look at the world a little differently. You walk with a little more confidence. At least I hope you do. Because I know for me, that's always where, that's the end stage for me. Like, here I am. The bitch is back. Here we go. Badassery initiated. I'm back. That's it for this episode of the Character Outs podcast. Thank you for joining. If it's your first time here, I'm so happy you're here. I've said it before, I'm so happy you're here, but I'm also so sad that you're here because it means that you resonate with the no contact healing journey and kind of feeling alone and sometimes like a villain and feeling lost and welcome. I'm so happy you're here, however you found this podcast. So join us over on Instagram. This season's guests are all wrapped up for season one, but I am compiling guests for season two. So if you are interested in either sharing your story or being on the podcast, email me and we can connect. Characteroutspodcast@gmail.com. Cheers till next time, friends.